All right, hi everybody. Welcome to this edition of It's Brewing at McEwen, a USF baseball podcast. I'm your host, Mark Giardino, and today I'm joined by two of my co-hosts, Matthew Giardino and Adam Cartwright. So we're going to be going into a lot of different topics on today's show. We are reacting to opening weekend. We finally got to see the beginning of the Mitch Hanna's era, see the new team, lots of new faces. In addition to that, there is a big game coming up at home tomorrow night with Florida State. We'll get a little bit into that. But yeah, in terms of just how we're going to kind of break down the show, I think we want to just talk a little bit about the games and our first impressions of seeing the team. And then we'll kind of dive into the position player group, what we saw out of them, some of the guys that look like they're solidifying their starter roles, talk about some position battles that still seem to be up for grabs. And we'll also talk about the pitching rotation, the starters, the relievers, everything. So it's going to be an action-packed show. Glad you're listening. And so I'll kick it first off. I'll kick it to Adam first. What were your first impressions of watching USF baseball under our new head coach, Mitch Hanna's?
Well, it was great. We got the series win. I think when I look at the series as a whole and I try to kind of encapsulate it into one word, it was just grit. I think the team showed a lot of grit this series. I mean, I think we won it without playing our best baseball against a really good Power Four team. That's always, I mean, hey, you want to get a win. I think we won game one by being out hit, but we found a way to do it, came through with the seventh and held on. I think Saturday you saw a lot more hard contact outs from the offense. And so, again, that's just kind of building on a process. And then you saw the offensive onslaught on Sunday when they broke through and took the series. It was just good to see because, when you see that, I think what you see is a team trusting the process and then coming out on top. And that's always good to see, especially when you're not playing your best.
What about you, Matt? Any first impressions?
Yeah, my first impression was, we heard a lot about Coach Hanna's coming into USF and how he knows how to win and he puts together winning ball clubs. And I think when you look at the team this weekend, it has all the makings of a winning ball club. And I think a lot of that has to do with the overall focus that Coach Hanna's has. He, obviously we got the win on Friday night and we dropped Saturday, but to have that focus to come back on Sunday and pick up the win and most importantly win the series, I think that was the biggest thing for me. And what's really interesting too is just the overall mindset that the team had going into that game. I think that there was a lot of determination to come out on top to get that series win.
Yeah, and I agree with all you guys, what both you guys said. But also for me, like touching on your point, Adam, the grit. I feel like both of our wins were actually come from behind wins, and that it was pretty incredible how it happened on Friday with Ryan Pruitt hitting that grand slam, and how it happened on Sunday, having that big breakthrough. I want to say 5 runs scored in that inning with the sixth inning. Yeah, it's really, really good to see. And it's also, Matt, touching on the point of focus, it really is something that I think Coach Hannes is very intentional about. He was interviewed actually by someone from USF Athletics and it was posted on Bulls Unlimited. You could check out that podcast. They did a good job with some of his quotes. But basically, Coach Hannes said that the team does have a lot to work on, but he's obviously happy that they won 2 out of 3. But basically, the main thing that he talked about was that it takes a lot of intensity to win a series, right? And he also mentioned how Friday night they had that win, but it may have actually hurt them on Saturday when you're running off of that emotional high, opening night win, and you got to turn around immediately the next morning. And Iowa was hungry that day, and I think Coach felt like our team didn't quite match the energy that day. But fortunately, they came out Sunday determined to take the series, and they did. But another thing that Coach Hanna said, it was good to play against a solid team at opening weekend, a well-coached team, so you get a real true barometer of where you're at. So yeah, I was pretty happy to see them get 2 out of 3. And it's exciting as we head into to Tuesday against Florida State. But I'll kick it to our next segment here. Want to talk a little bit about the fact that we finally got to see the full roster in terms of the batting order and the position group and where people were going to play. I thought that was pretty exciting to see. Obviously, it was kept very close to the vest the whole time. I think he didn't even tell the team until the day or two before the season. So it was great to see how that shaked out. And before I kick it off to Adam, I'll just give a couple of highlights. I think what was interesting was out of the eight positions out there on the field, there were, well, actually nine in terms of DH as well. There were four positions where you saw same guy all 3 days. Lance Triple from Florida State transfer caught every day. Bradkey Laurie, the Tennessee transfer, played shortstop every day. Marcus Brodell, longtime fourth-year bull, played right field every day, and Rafael Betancourt DH every day. One other thing too is there were two other guys that got into the starting lineup every day. That was Ryan Pruitt, who made a couple starts in the outfield, one start at first base, and also Matt Rose, who started all three games, two of them at third, one at second. So it looks like as of right now, we've got about six everyday starters, and those other three spots seem to be still being decided and fought out for. But I'll kick it to Adam here. Let's talk a little bit about the four main guys that really seem to be solid in their role. I mean, obviously Betancourt's DH, we didn't really get to see him in the field, but maybe talk about the three guys that you saw in the field who were there every day. You start with that.
First of all, I think Lance Triple and Lowry are really, really good defenders, and it's really good to have those guys up the middle. Starting with Triple, he showed a really great arm, threw a couple guys out. Also showed a lot of athletic ability for a catcher. Caught all 3 days. Also stole a couple bases. So again, that's really good to see. Lowry flat out just made two web gems on Friday night. One will count because we didn't get the out on one of them, but he absolutely made a great sliding play up the middle. He's showing real potential to be a conference defensive player of the year. Looking at Rose, I think he showed his defensive versatility playing at third and second. I think the staff is probably pretty comfortable with him at either position. It's just a matter of figuring out how the rest of the lineup will kind of shape that out. But I think they would be good with him playing either one. He picked up a multi-hit on Sunday. You kind of saw him kind of pick up. He got no hits Friday, one hit Saturday, two hits Sunday. So again, hopefully you're seeing him kind of get hot. Brodill showed power on Sunday. I think for the foreseeable future, you could probably pencil him in at right field. Looking at Pruitt, just showed that Mr. Everything ability. I mean, from dropping bombs to dropping bunts, playing outfield, playing infield, just really giving the coaching staff a lot of versatility in what they can do with the lineup with him. And you did mention Betancourt, and I got to mention this too. He picked up a huge hit in that seventh inning on Friday, which kind of got that rally going, got the bases loaded, ends up being, what gets us on top. And so that was big. I know his weekend didn't really turn out the way he would like it, but that was a really big at bat for the team there. So that was good to see.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's really good commentary on the six everyday starters that we saw this past weekend. I think Matt Rose to me is somebody who really stood out because coming into the season with all of the new faces and just a lot of transfers and everything, I was wondering if Matt Rose would actually earn like that everyday player role. Because we've known for a while that he has a good glove. We know he could play defense and he's a good ball player overall. He hustles. Another thing we know about him is that he's capable of being a very good hitter. He had two summers in summer ball in a row where he'll bat like over 300, or one summer it was like close to 400. And we're like, wow, we'd love to see that, 800 plus, 900 plus OPS play at USF. And the last, his freshman year, sophomore year, he didn't quite fully delivered with the bat, although last year he did show some progress with the bat. But this weekend, I feel like I'm seeing like the full Matt Rose coming out. I feel like I'm seeing, that guy who can put up big numbers in summer ball. I think it looks like he's gonna be able to do it here for the Bulls. And he just the way he plays the game, I think it really fits what Coach Hannes likes. He likes a guy that's fiery. He likes a guy that gets after it every day, every play. But man, I mean, even just watching his swing on a couple of his base hits, I mean, his swing looks really solid. I mean, I could see why he put up the numbers that he has in the past and summer league. So I'm excited for him. I think he's really going to be a cornerstone of the team. I think we're going to see the full evolution of Matt Rose.
Yeah, just one quick last point on him. He was one of those guys on Saturday. I know he had a hit, but he had another hit that was one of those hard contact out, hit an absolute missile that the third baseman snared out of the air, actually saved a couple runs for Iowa. So I think you're right. I think he might be getting hot.
Yeah, I think he's coming into his own. I think he's really going to be a cornerstone for sure. And one other guy I'd like to comment on that you talked about as we talk about these six kind of core everyday starters so far, Lance Triple. Yeah, I mean you said it. The athleticism it shows itself in the game. It's I've mentioned it, I think, on my page, but he was a really good high school football quarterback. I mean he had a
That
scholarship.
shows.
He had a scholarship to play Division II football at University of West Florida, turned that down to be a catcher at Florida State. He was behind like some really experienced catchers the last couple of years, a team that made it to Omaha last year. So to see him get the opportunity to actually be on the field every day and what he's doing with it was pretty exciting. And I saw him get, even on Saturday, I was there. And obviously that whole game didn't go the way we would have liked, but he did get us out to an early lead with a nice clutch RBI base hit. He made it to second base on that. I think it was technically a single,
Was a
but
double.
it was double. Okay,
I
cool.
think so.
I don't know, but he got there and he was fired up. I mean, he was fired up. I love seeing that. I love seeing we're only in the first week of the season. We're already seeing guys that are like fired up. I mean, Matt Rose, Lance Triple, like dudes that you could tell they want to win. I mean, these are Coach Hanna's type of players. Yeah, and obviously, one other guy that we do need to talk about while we're on the topic of the everyday starters, Ryan Pruitt. I mean, goodness gracious, what a debut at the Division I level. He's a guy. I think he's spent 2 or 3 years in junior colleges. I think 2 years, but man, I knew that he could be somebody that could be really good for this team just because of the numbers that he put up in JUCO. But I mean, I don't think anybody expected him to, immediately make the all con the conference honor roll. Hitting that grand slam on Friday night was a momentum changer. Just really was, I think, a big sigh of relief for the team to get a little bit of a lead there. But just, and I was actually kind of surprised on Saturday to be there. And then I was like, wait, he's playing first base. And I was like, wow, this guy can get all over the place. So that was really cool to see. But yeah, I think those six guys, I mean, Rafi had a clutch hit on Friday, like you said. He will he we know he's a great hitter. He's gonna settle into that DH role. But yeah, I think that's kind of my summary of or our summary of like the six everyday starters. Let's kind of talk about, the rest of the position group and some of the variability we saw in some of those positions. So I'll start with first base. We saw three different starters there. On day one, Carter Murphy, the Indiana State transfer, started there. On Saturday, I just mentioned Ryan Pruitt started there. And on Sunday, Sebastian Greco started there. That first base was interesting. And second base as well was another position on the infield where you saw a different starter every day as well. You saw Alex Brazier, the Eckerd transfer sophomore, start on Friday. You saw Matt Rose start on Saturday. And you saw Carlos Yacome, the Miami-Dade Community College transfer, start on Sunday. Adam, I'll kick it to you. Do you have any thoughts on the first base and second base position?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think just because of Pruitt's ability to come in and play first, you almost have to kind of draw a circle around the outfield and first base because how that position is going to play out is going to directly affect, let's say, the center field, left field kind of competitions. As I said earlier, I think Brodil is kind of penciled in that right field position. So it's really about filling out that center field, left field, and then again that first base, because of Pruitt, kind of gets roped into that. I think you can say the same thing about second base and third base because of Matt Rose's ability to go between. So you can kind of look at those two positions and actually look at them as maybe one competition between, the five, six players you mentioned there. So it's very interesting. I think the staff has a lot of options. I think, they're gonna look at this weekend. They're gonna look at what they're doing. They may be a little bit today. I can't imagine. They're probably gonna use Tuesday night as kind of another barometer, but I think maybe by next weekend we're gonna start to kind of see how these competitions are gonna shape out.
Yeah, definitely. I think when I look at first base, I was a little bit surprised to not see Sebastian Greco on Saturday. I mean, so a Friday night, I was like, okay, they got a left-handed pitcher going with the righty, maybe like a platoon situation. But he didn't start Saturday. I think he came in to pinch hit, but to get his first start at USF on Sunday, the left-handed Sebastian Greco is a graduate transfer, had the most home runs in BAMU history for a single season. Back in 2023 with 17, and did not take him long to hit a home run at USF. I think it was his first or second at bat. So he's definitely somebody who, if it's a right-handed pitcher, based upon how he performed, I think you're probably going to start seeing him more often, most likely on Tuesday and maybe going forwards. Carter Murphy started on Friday. At first base, he also played at third base on Saturday. He's only a second year player who had minimal experience at Indiana State, so good to see him getting some experience. And then at second base, I think you're right, Adam. I think Matt Rose is kind of just going to be wherever they want him to be that day. If they want him at second that day, if they want him at third that day, because it's really going to be thinking about like where do you put Matt Rose kind of determines like who else you could put in the lineup that day. So if you have Matt Rose at second, you could put one of your guys that you like at third in for that day. You have Matt Rose at third, one of your guys that you like at second. But just my gut feeling is like the long term, I think he is gonna be the third baseman for the most part, I think. And because the reason I say that is because I really, really like what Carlos Yacome brought to the table with his first start on Sunday. I think that he is solid defensively. I know at Miami-Dade Community College, he played some shortstop and second base, and he was very solid defensively there. And he made the routine play. Didn't get to see too many chances of an opportunity for a crazy play, but I'm sure he could make some highlight reel plays as well. And we didn't get to see Alex Brazier too much. He really only played half of the game on Friday. He was pinch-hitted for about halfway through the game. He only got two at bats. So he's a guy that I was really high on coming into the season because he was a top freshman of the year for Division II in Florida last season at Eckerd College. He was putting up some big hits in the scrimmages in January. So I think we're going to see more of Alex Brazier. I think we're definitely going to see more of Carlos Yacome. So there seems to be some nice options in the infield. And one thing that you don't want to forget about in the infield is the fact that we have a guy who, as a redshirt freshman last season, had a 900 plus OPS as an everyday player for USF in the second half of the season. That's Stuart Puckett. Stuart Puckett is a very, very good hitter. Once he gets an everyday role, he just sinks into it and he can hit. I mean, flat out, he has power. He can hit for average. I think the only reason that you have not seen him as much this past weekend, maybe they were looking for better options from a defensive standpoint. But I think that, his bat is too good to ignore. Especially the fact that he did that last season when he was really a redshirt freshman. He's going to be a big part of this team one way or another. That bat is going to, assert itself at some point or another. But yeah, I think that's pretty much all we had on the position player group. Does anybody have any last thoughts on the position player group? Now, I'll also give a quick shout out to Jacob Green, who started the first 2 days in center field. He looks really good defensively. He's really fast. And that's this thing about too Jacob Green with the outfield is there's really only four guys that are out are starters in the outfield right now. And the thing about that is, on a day where they want to put Pruitt at first base, Jacob Green is right there as your center fielder. He only had two games. We didn't get a base hit out of him yet, but he was a big producer at Seminole State College. I expected him to be the center fielder coming into the season. I still expect big things from him down the line, but go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I was gonna add in there too. I think one thing that I was impressed with was our overall patience at the plate. Marcus Brodell had three walks on the weekend. A few other guys had two walks, and they came up really big in those situations too. Not trying to do too much and just kind of keep moving along the line, and that's how we ended up in situations where we ended up with the bases loaded and opportunities to put up some big numbers when we had the opportunity. So I thought that really stood out to me as well.
Yeah, definitely. There were a lot of good at bats worked by different guys. I mean, you look at when they made that comeback yesterday. I want to say Bracky. I don't know if it was this inning. I think Bracky Laurie had like a nice walk that kind of helped tie the game. I think it was a walk that with the bases loaded that tied the game up.
Yeah, we had a beautiful bunt.
Yeah, that was in the following inning. That was in the seventh inning. He had a Let's talk about that for a second. I mean, bunting. Wow.
Yeah, two
We,
beautiful. There were two beautiful bunts.
oh my gosh, Ryan
Pruitt's
Pruitt. Whew.
was pretty too. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. You know, that was really impressive from Pruitt and Laurie. Those bunts.
And
Yeah, go ahead.
just real quick to add on, that's one of those things that has a ripple effect because Brad Lowry and Pruitt, they don't have to drop another bunt for probably another five, six, seven games, but people are going to play it. You're going to play this guy as a guy that can bunt, and that's an advantage to you as a hitter. So and like I said, it's not one of those things you have to do every weekend or every game per se. You do that once, twice, people are going to play you on it, and then that's when we start seeing those hard ground balls go through because then fielders aren't really in the right positions.
You know what was impressive too about each of those bunts was like there was nothing telegraphed about it. I think the first one, I want to say maybe Pruitt's, or I can't remember whose it was, but it was like a 1-1 count, and no bunts had been shown yet at all. He just randomly lays it down on the first attempt, which is huge. It's very critical to get it on the first attempt because you're not giving away what you're doing. Yeah, no, it was awesome. I mean, to see the execution on the first attempt. Which really allowed it to become a base hit instead of, a sack or anything like that. But no, awesome execution from the offense on that. Some really nice base hits as well with two strikes during that rally where they scored the five runs. Yeah, overall, a lot of good things from the offense, especially on Sunday. It took a little while to get going. Friday was only three base hits, even though we won. Saturday, not really a lot of base hits either. I'll tip my hat to the pitchers from Iowa. Obermueller on Friday night, the lefty was really good. And then seeing the guy on Saturday in person, I forget his name, but he the right-handed pitcher, he did a really nice job too. He was working really quickly and was really commanding his pitches really, really well. So it was tough pitching to face in your first two games of the season, but we managed it, navigated it, and got the series win. So but with that, we'll kick it to the pitchers. We're going to spend some time talking about what we saw on that side of the baseball. Friday night, we had Corey Braun, Ole Miss transfer start. He had a really solid Friday night start, five innings, two runs. Saturday, we saw James Hill, the JUCO transfer from CF, pitch about two innings. Well, maybe wasn't his sharpest, but it was good to see him get the start and see what he was able to do. And then on Sunday, we had the Cardenas, the transfer from Charlotte. I really liked what I saw out of him, even though the numbers may not have ended up being maybe what he wanted. He had six strikeouts, which is pretty good. But Matt, do you have any thoughts on what you saw from the starting pitching?
Yeah, I thought it was First thing that really popped out to me was I thought everybody's stuff was moving pretty well. Honestly, the visual test, it really didn't seem like those guys were gonna give up that type of performance, especially like on Saturday and Sunday. I thought they would have come up with some better numbers. Obviously, their stuff didn't necessarily reflect the results. I think a lot of that too has to do with the fact that it's the first game of the year for them, and they ended up walking a few more batters than they probably typically would. A lot of times they were getting deeper into counts, a lot of 3-2 counts that extended the pitch count. But overall, I thought they were looking really sharp out there. I thought all three pitchers had some really good movement. Really impressed with Corey Braun. Unfortunately, I was at the game on Friday, but I missed the top of the first where he struck out the side and proceeded to strike out the fourth batter of the game as well. But overall, I think it's one of those things where, as the season progresses, they get more comfortable, especially pitching at the Red and on the road. That they're gonna really start to hone in on their control and go deeper into ball games.
Yeah, that's one thing to keep in mind too, is like they were all on a pitch count, as Coach Hanos told us a couple nights before the season started, trying to get these guys between 70 to 80 pitches. Corey Braun, it was like right in that sweet spot. So you see somebody that down the line, you probably are gonna see more than 5 innings, six, seven, eight innings potentially from him. The Cardinals, to me, like I was watching that game on Sunday morning on TV, and I really liked how he was in the strike zone. I mean, I feel like he didn't throw too many pitches that were like wild or everything was competitive. Everything was in or around the zone. Pitches moved pretty well. Just a few times where just he gave up a base hit in a spot where maybe had an advantage count where he thought maybe he could put the guy away. But again, I mean, you're looking at a guy that's commanding pitches on a Sunday, that's pretty much all you can ask for. And we know that he's capable of doing really well. I mean, I kind of posted that morning that the Northwoods League, like scout from D1, watched him in the Northwoods League just carve batters up. I mean, he had 49 strikeouts and only 26 innings over there. So you can see why he was chosen to be one of the three starters for this opening weekend. And I think you're going to see better performances from him down the line. I think from James Hill too. He also seemed like a guy that, again, I could kind of see why coach picked each of these three guys to start. They all have pretty good control, pretty good command of their pitches. Even though, for example, James Hill wasn't dominant from a velo standpoint. I saw him kind of 88, 89, but he has command, and that goes a long way in college baseball, just being able to throw strikes. And it's also only the first week of the season, right? You might see their velocities go up as they kind of get stretched out and more eased into the season as well. So overall, I think that it was pretty solid performances from the starting pitchers. Yet to be determined if we'll see them exactly in the roles this upcoming weekend at Georgia Southern. I think Corey Braun definitely. But remember, DeCardenas was not even, named the Sunday starter until like the day of night before. So be interesting to see how that shakes out and who ultimately ends up being the starters as we get deeper into the season. But we'll touch next on the, unless there's anybody else have any comments on starters.
Just real quick, I thought Corey Braun, didn't get the win. Like you said, pitch count kind of limited his innings, all of that. But him and Cade Obermuller, the starter for Iowa, those two came out on Friday night and really had a real heavyweight showdown, threw some haymakers at each other. I think Braun came out through the first 23 of 28 for strikes. So he was coming out really aggressive, coming at hitters. Obermuller struggled in the first, but then he settled in. You saw them just really go toe to toe. And that's what you need out of a Friday night guy. So that was good to see.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, starting the season with four straight strikeouts is a good sign. And he's somebody that when I saw him in the fall, I only saw him pitch one inning, but I knew immediately that he really had something. I just kind of like Coach Hanna said, with working both sides of the plate, he's very, as a left-hand pitcher, really important against the righties to be able to pitch away, to be able to pitch arm side confidently, get it maybe like a changeup that could fade away from the righties. And Corey Braun, He really has that, and that's I think what's going to make him effective against righties and lefties both. But yeah, this it was a really good start, and I think that we're going to see the pitching kind of line up and rotation evolve as the year goes on. And the reason I say that is because, Coach did mention that they are building up several guys to pitch longer period stretches, longer periods. And you actually did see that out of a few guys, but we'll kind of get into that. Like, we saw those three starting pitchers, but we also saw nine different relief pitchers. We'll kind of give some shout outs to what were some of the most impressive relief outings. I think we'll start with Friday. I mean, how about Landon Yurick and Brandon Keister? Landon Yurick, the transfer from Community College out in, I want to say, Texas. I know he's originally from Texas. Community College was Arizona, I want to say. He came in and pitched over two innings, maybe 2.2, and or maybe about 2.1. Gave up no runs. Was really effective. Helped to keep the Bulls in it, so that Pruitt's home run could ultimately help lead to a win. Landon Yurick did a lot of starting pitching in JUCO, and to see him get like a little bit of a longer relief role is not surprising. And then see Brandon Keister, the transfer from Indiana, get the save. Left-handed pitcher who has a lot of experience at the Division I. Well, last year he pitched at Indiana and was pretty effective out of the bullpen for them. Yeah, I was really happy to see these two new names come in right away on opening night out of the bullpen and make a tremendous a difference. Brandon Keister to get the save, that was awesome. And then I'll also looking at some other relief outings that kind of stood out to me was Aiden Longoria. I saw him on Saturday, saw him come into the game when we were down by a bit. And he got like an inning in, and I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'm glad to see him. Glad to see him back from last season, making some progress. But I actually did not expect to see him be the person to close out the game on Sunday. And the day after, we didn't see a lot of back-to-back appearances last few seasons under the prior coaching staff. But to see Aiden come out the following day and pitch two innings of shutout ball to close the game out. That was pretty awesome for the sophomore who, as a freshman, showed some glimpses and flashes, but didn't really have the best year statistically. But it looks like he's made a big jump. Any thoughts or comments on some of the bullpen stuff, guys?
Yeah, I think like you mentioned, Aiden Longoria, he really stood out a lot. You look at him now compared to last year, you could tell he's put in a lot of work in the off season. He looks like he's put on some pounds on his frame, and he looks like a guy that can go out there and give you multiple outings, multiple innings out there any particular weekend. And he looked electric out there. He also had four strikeouts in that outing on Sunday. Just totally dominated those last two innings. You usually feel a little bit nervous in the last couple of innings, but with him up on the mound, I was feeling pretty at ease, just with how he controlled the tempo and how he was pretty much straight out dominating. And then another guy I thought was really cool to see was Jack Nedrow. Obviously a guy with a lot of experience, and you can really see that translate to the mound as well. He came in there with a lot of composure, guy that worked at his own pace. He really controlled the tempo out on the mound, and definitely controlled the overall feel of the inning that he pitched in as well. And he pitched 2.2 innings, bridging the gap to Aiden Longoria, and that could eventually be a really nice 1-2 punch at the back end of our bullpen, alongside Landon York and Brandon Keister as well.
Yeah, I think those guys we just kind of mentioned kind of really stood out the most from a relief standpoint. Obviously, Aiden and Brandon each getting an opportunity to finish the game. But go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I was going to just mention a few more guys that I thought were pretty impressive, even if the results didn't necessarily show. But I thought Nolan Bernard was really impressive. I thought he showed some electric stuff. I think he was throwing 94, 95 miles per hour, only a freshman, very highly rated coming out of high school. I think as he hones in that control, he's really going to be a big impact arm towards the back end of our bullpen. And then another guy who I love, I interviewed him when he was still in high school, Corey Kling. He came in and pitched a scoreless inning as well. Pretty much a flawless inning. He had a strikeout, but overall he looked really good in an otherwise disappointing pitching performance on the Saturday game.
Yeah, definitely. I really liked to. I was again. There were some like pleasant surprises like during these games, right? Like I didn't think that we would bring in a freshman in that high leverage spot that Nolan Bernard found himself in. I want to say in the fourth inning, yeah, fourth inning, with a couple of base runners, with only one out. That's a big ask for your collegiate debut right out of high school, but. He got out of the jam with no runs scored. I mean, that was awesome. And you can see why they picked him for that kind of a spot, given the velocity that he throws, 94, mid-90s, like you said. And he has really good composure. The following inning, he gave up a couple of runs, but I mean, the fact that he got out of the jam that he did, that he was just dropped into in that situation in his first ever collegiate appearance, that's a really good sign. And yeah, Corey Kling, I mean, he's just been very good ever since he stepped foot on campus. He didn't get as many innings as he probably should have last season. He only pitched about 9 or 10 innings last season. But his ERA was, I want to say, below 2. And then he also did the same exact thing in his summer league. His ERA was like below 2. Only gave us one inning this past weekend, but he's very effective. He's even seems like he got bigger and stronger from when he was a freshman. So I think he's a guy that we're going to be seeing a lot of, and we'll definitely get some high leverage opportunities, I think as well.
I just wanted to, thank you for bringing up Kling. I wanted to give him his a little bit of flowers before he went because, as I understand it, I think he did deal with a little injury when he stepped onto campus. But since becoming healthy, all he's done is get outs consistently. Whether it's like you said for us for his summer league, he just gets outs. And so I would really, he's one I'd really like to see get a bigger opportunity because it's just always felt like that's the one thing he's been missing. It's just that consistent opportunity. And going to Longoria, listen, that Sunday save was big. I mean, he came in, gave us a pretty decent inning on Saturday, and then he comes in and gets a six out save on Sunday. Not just your traditional, or was it a save? I'm not sure
It
about the
wasn't
run
technically a
differential.
save, but we're calling it a save here at
All right,
Brooklyn
yeah,
Academy.
I knew it was in that. It was close, right? It was a 5-run game, I think. Four, I'm not sure. Anyways, it was still a big six outs to close it out.
Huge, absolutely.
Huge. And another thing about him, sometimes we kind of forget about it when they step on campus and we see him, they're only about 17, 18 years old, but the kid also grew 2 inches. Listed at 6'1 as a freshman, he's 6'3, 231 now. I told you guys in our little pre-show, I kind of missed his introduction to the mound the first time, and I saw him on the mound. I'm thinking, who is this kid, this man, right? And I don't even, I had to go back and look at the roster and be like, is this the same guy? Yeah, it is. And then you see the results. He's able to handle the workload. I think we'll see him get a bigger one as we go forward. And then Landon York, that was a huge thing on Saturday. We talked about what Bron did going toe to toe with the ace. Well, we don't win that game if York doesn't come in and put us in a position to have that big seventh inning, which is why he ended up getting the W in the end.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and shout out to Caleb Punsack, fifth year senior, who was the only holdover left from the 2021 Super Regional team. He ended the, I want to say, the eighth inning on Friday night with a nice strikeout to get out of a situation that kind of helped maintain the lead that the Bulls had, or a tie or a lead, but it was a close situation and he did pretty well in that spot. We also got to see the Division I level debut of Lex Sanchez. He's a Hillsborough Community College transfer, good friend of Andrew Perez, Pro Bowl, and somebody that we're friends with at the show. And they went to the same high school, and I think Andrew has kind of helped train him a little bit over the years. Lex, I think, gave us like 1.1 innings, gave up one run. I got to see him in person. I was there on Saturday. Has a good demeanor, good energy on the mound. It looks like he's got some pretty good velocity. I think I saw him around 90. And I'm excited to see what he'll kind of be able to do for us out of the bullpen going forward as well. One last couple comments on pitching. I was a little bit surprised that we didn't see any of Evan Kohler, a guy who made a lot of starts at Polk State Community College, actually played last season under the pitching coach there, who I'm pretty good friends with, Alec Asher. And so I was a little surprised to not see him. But I think, and I'm wondering if maybe he's being saved for potential long relief in the game tomorrow against Florida State. You know, Bryce Archie is gonna make the start, as we all know. But you know, he really just got back into baseball shape in January. So I'm not sure how much pitches he's gonna be on a pitch count four. So just curious to see when we do see the date, when we do see the debut of Evan Kohler, when is it? What type of role is it? Again, he's a guy that was really effective as a starting pitcher at Polk State for 2 years straight. So definitely another good weapon to have in the bullpen. But with that, we'll kick it to our last segment just to take a look at what is ahead. Well, obviously, we've already mentioned a few times the matchup on Tuesday night, tomorrow night at home against Florida State. Florida State, as we all know, is a really solid club. They went to Omaha last season and they just absolutely dominated James Madison opening weekend. They outscored them 25-2 over the span of 3 days. And, you know, usually you see that a Florida team dominating a northern school. But the thing is, this is not an average northern school here. I mean, James Madison was number 46 in the RPI last year. They're a top 50 team in the country. They're a very good team. They're in the Sun Belt, one of the best conferences in Division I baseball outside of the Power Three or Four, wherever you want to call it. And yeah, to beat them 25-2 over the span of 3 days, that tells you quite a bit about Florida State. It's going to be a challenging game for sure, but you know, anything could happen in midweeks. And at the end of the day, this is something that I think Coach Hanna's really prides himself on, is being able to compete with or beat anybody on any given day. I mean, he led his prior team, Indiana State, to be essentially selected to host a super regional. And that means you're a top eight national seed. So Coach Hanna's and his staff and the mindset that he instills in the players is really not to fear anyone. Obviously respect your opponent, but at the end of the day, as he said in his own words, when we get off the bus, they're gonna respect us, right? You know, we don't have to get off the bus, we're playing at home. But it's gonna be a, I think, a good battle between a team that's established as a powerhouse in the country and a team and our team that's, you know, on the rise, trying to really get the program in a good direction. So, any thoughts from you guys, Matt and Adam, as we head into the Tuesday matchup?
Yeah, well, I've spoken to a couple of players on the team, and they seem to be prepared and ready to go for FSU on Tuesday. You know, I think they're going to put their best foot forward and go out and give a good effort. I think that's all we can ask for, especially against such a good team like FSU. But like you said, I don't think they're going to be a team that's going to back down, and we're going to give it our best shot. I'm excited to see you know, what improvement Bryce Archie has had after he's had about a year back playing baseball, and just keep seeing the bats, seeing how they continue to develop, see if we could pick up where we left off from on Sunday, and hopefully we'll have a good game.
Yeah.
I am interested to see Archie start, like you said, coming off of football. We talked to Coach Hanna's earlier. He said, admittedly so, he's going to be working off the rust, and it's not the best lineup to do so against. But we know he's got a live fastball. We know his off speed can work off of that. If he can locate that fastball, I think he's going to put us in a chance. Definitely going to need a couple more to pull off the win. You can't really expect him to go more than probably four or five in this opening game, especially with him not even having really a full off season, getting ready to pitch. So again, I think we're going to see three or four different guys. But it is a midweek. They are crapshoots. You never really know what's going to happen. I do know that if you show up and you swing the bat well, you make hard contact, you got a really good chance. And as we talked about in our breakdown, I think we were kind of progressing towards that. So that's what I'm hoping to see. One little fun fact I do want to point out, there is a son of a baseball, should be Hall of Famer, is going to be returning. He himself is actually a former Tampa prep star, Jesuit, Noah Sheffield. You'll know exactly who he is after he takes his first pitch, and you see the very, very iconic stance, similar iconic stance. I'm not sure if it's exact, but
Pretty
you'll know it when
close.
you
I
see
saw it
it.
today.
Yeah, you'll know it when you see it. But like I said, Gary Sheffield was a Tampa legend. Great baseball player. Again, should be in the Hall of Fame. His son was a Tampa prep legend. He's going to be returning home. You know the Red is going to be packed. It
Oh,
always
yeah.
is when we get these Florida schools coming in, as it should be. It's definitely got that rivalry game feel. That's what I'm expecting, and I'm hoping it's a slugfest. I'm ready to see it.
Yeah, no, I'll give a little insight too into the starting pitcher for Florida State tomorrow. They're going to be starting Evan Crest. He's a 6 foot, 182 right-handed pitcher. He's a junior. It's his first year with Florida State. He actually spent his first 2 years of his career at Jacksonville University. Had a very good freshman year over there. He was the A Sun freshman of the year. He went 8-2 as a freshman. Did a lot of great things as a sophomore. Numbers were down a little bit. He had a 6.82 ERA, but he still ended up having 74 strikeouts and only 25 walks in 68 innings. So he's got good control. He's a solid overall pitcher. Looks like he won the midweek starting spot for them, which is pretty good accomplishment. He's also actually originally from Tampa. He went to Wharton High School. So if obviously Sheffield will have a lot of family and friends there. So will the starting pitcher for Florida State, and just Florida State's roster up and down the roster has a lot of Tampa Bay based guys. One that we know very well, Joey Bellini, that started up for them on Saturday after spending the first 2 or 3 seasons of his career at USF. So a lot of Tampa connections with Florida State. They don't come down here very often. They have not been down here since 2016. So you can definitely expect a big crowd. I hope to see a lot of bulls, and there obviously will be a lot of Noles.
Get there early.
Yeah, exactly. Get there early, fans, and be loud and make sure it's a very clear and obvious green that you're wearing, because there's going to be some garnet and gold. Hate to admit, but there will be.
It's gonna
But
be
yes.
electric, man. Like, yeah, you do
Yeah.
hate to see it, but I'm telling you, if you are able to go and watch a baseball game, I'm telling you, the one tomorrow night is gonna be one of the more electric atmospheres that you're gonna get in the area.
Absolutely. One last thing I'll just say, obviously they're playing Georgia Southern on the road this weekend. We'll probably provide some preview content, maybe through short form video or through some tweet threads. I've got the Twitter premium now, so I could just lay out a long preview for you guys on Twitter.
We're
So
official.
yeah, exactly, yes. So we will comment on all that stuff when we pass the Florida State game, but that's really the focus right now is let's see how the Bulls match up with the Noles, and looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, guys. Talk to you later. Go Bulls.
Go Bulls.